1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We're going to get there eventually. I'm going to make a few comments here before we get into the scriptures real deeply. I sense a need as a pastor to address an issue that some, I believe, in the congregation are dealing with. Maybe some are confused by some of the things that were said, and by the Spirit. Really, the Holy Ghost said some things back at the beginning of January here. And so I think some people maybe this service is just maybe four months late. But I'm doing it now. Praise the Lord. And so I think some of the things that the Spirit said maybe, and then maybe comments that we've made maybe have confused some people. Not that the Spirit is confusing. There's no confusion with Him. But maybe we didn't say some things as clear as we should. That's what I'm trying to say. So I would like to take a service tonight and just talk about the issue of the ministry of revelation gifts, and when the Spirit of God says something along certain lines, what to do with them. How do we handle those things? And you might say, what are you referring to? I'm referring to really specifically, this will apply generally to all these things, but I'm referring to specifically something that we said, I don't remember if it was the first or second Sunday of January, somebody maybe can tell me, about just a warning that the stock market was going to go down. Yeah. Amen. I don't believe God's just only interested in the stock market. He's got many things that are much more important than the stock market, but He does have something different for His people who are faithful in their giving and tithing.
Amen. Yeah.
And He wants to sometimes help us because He's good.
Yes.
Amen. I said amen. And so, but these things manifest because God loves His people and He desires to help them. But we need to know how to cooperate with these things. You know, do we just blindly just say, okay, well, the Holy Ghost said that, so I should do this out of our minds? No, not at all. And so we want to talk about this tonight. Is that all right? How do we cooperate with these kinds of manifestations scripturally? Because the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 4. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 4 through 8. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to be ignored by every man. Huh? No. It's given to profit with all. Listen, if we'll learn to respond properly to these things, we'll profit from it. Now, that's not just financially. I mean, how many of you know if God says to you, don't let your child go to so-and-so tonight to be in that whatever situation or party or whatever, and you say, no, stay here and stay with us tonight, and something that their life is spared, or the wrong connections were not made, or something was saved, they were saved from something, that's profit. That's profit. So there's many, many areas of profit. We're not just talking about one area, but he did say that these things are given to us, these manifestations, to profit us. Then he goes into some of them, and he lists 9 manifestations of the Spirit. And the first two are the word of wisdom, which is the most important one. And then the second one that he lists is word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Amen. So we want to talk about this because when the Lord spoke that, he had us say that. Anybody know if it was the first or second Sunday of January? I don't recall. But it's not that important. But it's just we want to not just let these things get by us. But neither should we just hear them and just kind of have a knee-jerk reaction to them. You know, in other words, these things are not given, really, the revelation gifts of the Spirit are not given through one, maybe, ministry office to guide people.
Right.
They're to just get them their attention. It's not to tell them what to do.
Right.
It's just to say, hey, ringy-dingy, hello. You know, this is getting ready to happen.
Right.
It's not telling you what to do about it.
Right.
It's telling you this is getting ready to happen, so you need to decide between you and God and your prayer life by the inner witness. Everybody say the inner witness.
Yes.
what to do about these things. Amen. So really, if you analyze what the Holy Spirit had us say that Sunday, you look at what kind of manifestation was that? You have to basically say it was a word of wisdom. Wouldn't you? I mean, where else? It wouldn't be gifts of healings. You know, it wouldn't be, special faith, which would have been operation if the Lord had said, this is getting ready to happen. You tell the congregation to exercise authority over it.
Right.
Now, that'd be over in the category of special faith, but he didn't say that.
Right.
You understand? So we're going to get into this tonight. And don't just think I'm sharing this just for one category or one thing that happened or one thing the Holy Ghost said. This will save you a lot of heartache in life in general. Amen. It just seemed good to do this tonight. It seemed like some people maybe I didn't say some things properly on Sunday morning, and people maybe misunderstood. So I'm just clearing up some things. Just seemed good to do this. Amen. So word of wisdom. God has all knowledge and all wisdom, but notice it's only a word of wisdom. Say that out loud. Just a word of wisdom. But he knows everything, but he doesn't reveal everything. He gives us enough to get us started in the right direction. You know what I'm talking about. So he just, in order to do that, a word is a fragment of a sentence or a paragraph or a book or, he didn't say, so one is given a book of wisdom. It's not a whole, it's not all the information God has or everything he knows. It's just a piece of it.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Just a fragment of what he knows. And so the word of knowledge is supernatural revelation that by the Spirit of God concerning certain facts in the mind of God. But these facts are concerning people, places, or things in the past or the present. The word of wisdom is supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God. Say out loud, supernatural. We're going to look at the examples in the Bible. It's all supernatural. It's not just natural. It's not just, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. You can get wisdom from God that's not in the area of word of wisdom. How to handle the affairs that you're dealing with and so forth. That's not necessarily the word of wisdom. Because the word of wisdom, as we see in the word, and we'll look at some of these examples tonight. The word of wisdom is supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purposes and plans in the mind and will of God. But even more specifically, it has to do with revelation concerning the purposes in the mind of God concerning things to come. The difference between the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, or I could say it the other way around, word of knowledge and word of wisdom, is that word of knowledge is concerning facts that are present or past that God knows. How many of you know God told Cornelius, go down to a certain street in a certain place in a certain house by the seaside and ask for one Simon the Tanner, he's living there. That's a word of knowledge. That's supernatural. He didn't know that in the natural, but he got a revelation of it by the word of knowledge. But that's not word of wisdom. Word of wisdom, they must be different because they're listed different. The word of wisdom is not just concerning something present, but something that is in the mind of God concerning his plan for the future.
Yes.
Or sometimes it's not always just his plan, but he's telling you what's coming under circumstances.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Yes. All right. So the people often refer to, the church world has terminology sometimes that messes people up. And they refer to the operation of the gift of word of knowledge as a prophecy. They'll say, well, so-and-so prophesied that this is going to happen or something like that. Well, and they call it a prophecy. Well, if it's concerning, if it's God, first of all, might not be God. But if it's concerning the future, I mean, if it's predicting the future or saying what's coming in the future, it's not just the simple gift of prophecy.
Right.
Now, hang on with me tonight. You might say, I know all this, but we got some things. We got to lay the foundation. We got to get some things. It might have come through it might have manifested through an utterance of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
But if it brings revelation of the future or what is coming, it's not just prophecy, because the Bible says plainly in 1 Corinthians 12:3, it says that 14:3, it says that when prophecy is speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. It has no revelation in it per se.
Right.
It's just exhorting, comforting,
right.
edifying. Amen. But sometimes, and that can come through a supernatural utterance given by the Spirit. But sometimes utterances given by the Spirit will get over into the area of revelation. You understand? Now it's either a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. You understand the difference? Now you say, well, it came through a prophecy, so it's a prophecy. It came through the vehicle of prophecy, but the gift, there was two gifts working together. Right? It's like you came here tonight in your vehicle. Right? But that doesn't make you a car. The word of wisdom might come through the vehicle of prophecy, but that doesn't make it prophecy. Do you understand? So we want to just take some time and learn as we go through this tonight. But so the gift of simple gift of prophecy doesn't include any prediction or foreseeing into the future whatsoever. Just a simple gift of prophecy doesn't. But the word of wisdom does. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the word of wisdom may be manifest through another gift. It might come through utterance. It might come through, you know, like tongues and interpretation of tongues or prophecy. Or it might come in a dream or a vision. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
God didn't tell me to share something, but I had a dream just a week ago. And I asked the Lord what it was about because I didn't understand it. And instantly he told me. And it's coming. It's coming. Something that's coming. If he tells me to share it, I'll share it. It's not God's plan, but I'm praying, what do we do about it? Amen. So Moses, let's just give some examples of this. It can come through a utterance, one of the utterance gifts, through prophecy or tongues interpretation. It can come through a dream or a vision. How many of you know, for example, in the Old Testament, Jacob had a dream. And he saw himself ruling over his family, basically. His brothers and sisters bowing down to him. Remember that?
Yes.
You know, his brothers and sisters got so happy about that, they sold him into slavery. So you do need to ask God if you should share everything. For instance, and that came through a dream, didn't it?
Yes.
What did that reveal? That revealed God's purposes for Jacob's life.
Yes. Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Or Joseph. I said Jacob. It was Joseph. Joseph. Tell your neighbor that was the second mistake he's ever made. Kidding. Just kidding. Moses received revelation. If you think about it, he received revelation of the law, which was God's plan and purpose for Israel. Now, not for us today, but you understand in that time, it was God's plan to govern the nation of Israel. And that came through an audible voice. Isn't that right? And so the book of Revelation has, I guess you could call it one big word of wisdom, but you could also say it's many words of wisdom concerning what's coming. Some of those things haven't even come to pass yet. It's written over 2,000 years ago. But it is a word of wisdom. Amen. Noah had a word of wisdom concerning the flood coming. Why did God tell him that the flood was coming? Just so he could bind it and rebuke it? He couldn't stop that. God told him to get him ready. Isn't that right? If you'll do what I say, you'll be spared. No, it took him 100 years, but he did it. What's your alternative? I mean, you know. So God was preparing him for what was to come. Jacob, I kept saying Jacob, it was earlier it was Joseph, but this is Jacob. Jacob, the Bible makes it very plain that then Jacob had, excuse me, this is Joseph again. He was the one that had a dream of seven, remember, he didn't have the dream, but the king had a dream of 7 years. Well, he didn't know what it all meant. He saw seven fat cows, and then the seven skinny cows, the skinny cows ate up the fat cows. Remember that? Seven skinny cows ate up seven fat cows. He didn't know what it was. And he called for somebody, and they finally got Joseph in there, and Joseph had the Spirit of God, had revelation of what it meant, and he interpreted it that there were coming seven bad years, seven good years of plenty and abundance and so forth, and then there was going to be 7 years of famine, bad years economically, you might say, and that was going to eat up all the profits, all the abundance of the seven fat years. Remember that? What is that? That's a word of wisdom. That's what's coming. Well, what did he do? Rebuke it? Well, no, he had to get ready for it. He said, here's what I advise. Let's store up in these good years. Let's store up all that food. And that's how Egypt, because of a word of wisdom, that's how Egypt became the biggest nation of that day. It was the world power of that day. Because everybody needed food. And Joseph's down there saying, sure, here, you know, $700. Here, buy this. Okay, thank you. Put that in the treasury. And they're selling food for 7 years. Would God do something like that? No, he already has. Many times. Amen. And he will. I didn't mean that he won't do it again. I'm just simply saying, people say, well, why would God do that? Sure he would. Sure he would. How many of you know he loves you? Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin would talk about this a couple times. He mentioned this. He said the Lord would say to him, there's a recession coming. Or different times he said it different ways. But one time he said, there's a recession coming. And he said, it won't affect you if you do what I say. What is that? That's a word of wisdom.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Woo, I got the word of wisdom. Everything's going to be okay. No, some of them are conditional. Some of them are conditional. Some of them are conditional. You remember Hezekiah received a word of wisdom. Isaiah came in one day, and you always want to, whenever you see the prophet coming, you always want to clean up the house. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Lord, we repent for this. Forgive me, honey, for strife. I didn't mean to say that. Okay, here he comes. Praise God. Got it all cleaned up. But Isaiah came and said, set your house in order, for you're going to surely die. Ooh, man, we like whenever somebody says, praise God, you're going to get a new house. But this wasn't a new house prophecy, you know, or a new house revelation. It was a revelation that he was going to die. Well, the Bible said he turned his face to the wall. You remember? He sought God and repented. You read the whole story. Got some things. The Bible said he put all my sin behind his back. Hezekiah said that. And he got some things turned around. And the prophet didn't even get out of the courthouse. I mean, the courtroom. Courtyard. That's what I'm trying to say. And God said, turn back. I've seen his tears, heard his prayer. I'm going to add to him, what did he say, 15 years or something like that. Amen. So, well, if God said it's going to happen, isn't it? Now, listen to me. Listen. When God says something, I've had people ask me, they've said, God spoke to me and said there was going to be some bad thing happen, an accident or something was going to happen. What am I supposed to do about that? Well, if he said something, you go to the Word to see if it's his will.
All right.
Just because he said it doesn't mean it's his will.
All right. Yes, sir. Yes.
Now stick with me tonight. Don't be counting the lights or you'll miss something, you know. You can look in his Word and know what his will is. If what he said to you is not in line with his will, that doesn't mean you rebuke and say, devil, get behind me. Now, the devil will say things that'll try to get you in unbelief. But God will, you got to know the different voices that are talking to you. God will also say some things to you sometimes, but you have to learn how to handle them. Well, that just means I rebuke it. Well, maybe you get unction to do that. And if you do, you better get your authority out. Brush up on it and stand. But not every situation, that's what you do. Noah didn't do that. Hezekiah didn't do that. Noah got ready. Hezekiah repented and changed it. Amen. So did Joseph. He got ready. There are things that we have to learn, one thing we have to learn is, it's just as much walking in authority to do what God tells you to do to avert a situation Satan intended to bring into your life, and averting it, that's just as much authority as saying, Satan, I bind you.
Come on.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Did you hear that statement?
Yes.
That's just as much you walking in authority. You can listen to what the Spirit of God is telling you to do about something, which is different for everybody. And I'm going to get into this. But you can listen to what the Holy Ghost is telling you to do about something and avert it and just laugh at the devil and what he intended to do to you. Just as much as if you took authority over it and stopped it, and then the devil couldn't do it, you can laugh at him then. But there are times you can't just take authority because there's no unction there.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's good.
You have to do what he says do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, now, with these situations, like when God spoke to Brother Hagin, said, there's a recession coming. It won't affect you if you do what I say.
Yeah.
That was a word of wisdom. But what was it? What was it? Did the Lord tell him to bind that?
No.
No, the Lord told him what was coming. So, through the word of wisdom, and told him what to do. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you know skinny cow years don't belong to the people of God? That's their harvest in the world, not ours.
That's right.
Our covenant does not have skinny cow years in it.
Come on, no skinny cows.
That'd be a good bumper sticker. Our covenant doesn't have skinny cow years in it. Hallelujah. But we will live in skinny cow years. I'm talking about our realm of experience.
Yeah.
Whatever's going around out there will be in our life if we don't do what he told us to do.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for these manifestations.
Yes,
these gifts of the Spirit. Yes. Amen. But we got to take them seriously.
Yes,
we got to listen to God's message. We got to hear what he's saying.
Yes.
Amen. Because what he's saying through these gifts, that should be our cue to go pray and find out what the Spirit of God's telling us to do about it. Amen. We need these manifestations, don't we? Now let's go over to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter 9, this is a word that God gave, a word of wisdom really, concerning that God gave to Ananias concerning his plan for Paul. His name was Saul of Tarsus and he's changed to Paul. You know who we're talking about. So Acts 9 verse 15 through 16, the Lord said unto him, go thy way, talking to Ananias, go thy way, he is a chosen vessel. Talking about Paul, he told him, remember he said, go and I want you to lay hands on him, he might receive his sight and so forth. But he said, go thy way, he's a chosen, because let me back up. Ananias had heard about him. He said, no, not me, Lord. I heard he's out killing Christians.
Yeah.
He said, not me.
Yeah.
You know, you've never argued with the Lord, but Ananias did. And God said, no, he said, go your way, here in verse number 15, Acts 9:15. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now notice that he's a chosen vessel, and he gave him specific information to bear my name before kings and Gentiles and the children of Israel. Amen. That was a revelation, a supernatural revelation of what God's plan for Paul was and what Paul was eventually going to be doing. Isn't that right?
Yes.
I said, isn't that right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So, it's a word of wisdom, really, and looks toward the future plans and purposes of God. So, God has told us in his word, he gives us instructions to each of us as believers as he guides and leads us by the inner witness. Say the inner witness. But here, Paul's receiving instructions by spiritual gifts in operation through the ministry of the word of wisdom. And actually, there's a word of knowledge here too. We won't take time to get into that. But, of course, what came through the word of wisdom bore witness with what God had already said to Paul.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
God was already talking to Paul. None of these things that we're talking about tonight trump the inner witness. The inner witness is to be the Word of God, number one. Number one, above all things. But I'm talking about these other areas of more specific leadings. The Word of wisdom, let me say it right. The Word of wisdom is not to trump the Word of not, I mean, the inner witness.
Yes, sir.
The inner witness is to trump all these things. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Now, I want you to keep that in mind as we share this tonight, because that God leads us primarily by the inner witness. Remember Jesus said to Brother Hagin, it's quoted in Romans 8, verse 14 and 16. God leads us, he said, I lead my children primarily by the inner witness.
Yes.
The primary way I lead all my children is the inner witness.
Yes.
Say that out loud, primary.
Primary.
That trumps everything. There are these more spectacular forms of guidance, but they've all got to bear witness with the inner witness.
Yes. Yes.
But notice Jesus didn't say, the only way I lead my children.
Amen.
He said the primary way. What if we're so focused on the primary way that God chooses to talk to us through another way and we're not open to it?
Right.
Well, those things are given to profit us, so what are we going to miss?
Yeah.
We're going to miss profit.
Yeah. Come on.
Hang on with me. I'm not. As we get through this, you'll understand this a little better. Amen. Some of the main ways God has led us in our lives, like going to Rhema. I know her and me going to Bible school. Such huge, important steps in our life.
Yes.
I mean, just think about what she would have missed if she'd have missed me. I mean, no, I'm just kidding. And vice versa.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about. The word we got there and changed, just rearranged our lives.
Yes. Amen.
And it was so key. But neither of us, God just spoke out of heaven, out of an audible voice. It was just a knowing. I described to you my experience, and it was just an inner knowing. That was a major, that was so important. Did I hit that?
Yes.
Okay, in these big important things, you really got to have something extra. No, you don't. No, you don't. You just have to have the inner witness and trust it. No, there's a reason he said the Spirit over there in 1 John 2:27, the anointing teaches us, and it's truth and no lie.
Yes.
There's a reason he said that, truth and no lie, because sometimes our mind is going to go, oh, I don't know. No, it's true. It's true. What you have the witness about is true.
Yes.
It's not a lie. God's leading you all right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you and I should not seek any of these manifestations. Well, I can't trust what I have in here. I just need somebody to prophesy to me or give me a word or something like that. To seek those things is to open ourselves to deception. God is a faith God. And if you have it in your heart and you've prayed and you've sought God and laid it all on the altar and it's still there in your heart, trust it.
Amen.
You don't need something else.
Exactly.
Lord, confirm this. You don't need something else.
Come on, you don't.
That's just as much God. It's not as spectacular, but it is just as supernatural. And it's just as much God as a booming voice out of heaven saying, this is the way, walk ye in it.
Yes.
Yes.
Just as much God. We've got to learn to trust that. Amen. So we don't seek these manifestations. We aren't promised in every situation that we're going to have one of these manifestations. They happen, the Bible says, as the Spirit wills.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the Bible says? And so you're promised that He'll guide you in all the affairs of life, but it's through the inner witness. But that doesn't mean that He doesn't move other ways. Amen. Hallelujah. I've had some personal experience in being led other ways. But that's not what I ever look for.
Right.
Now, when I say it's wrong to seek it, I didn't say it's wrong when it manifests.
Right.
I'm just saying, if God wills and it manifests, we thank God for it. We receive it.
Right.
But we're not going to sit around and wait for that.
Right.
We trust the inner witness.
Right.
Amen. You can open yourself to deception. I've known of people that have opened, I've had people here, open themselves to deception, and actually they lost their mind because they wanted to hear voices.
Yeah.
And Satan accommodated them.
Yeah.
And it put them in a bad place mentally and so forth. But because God, yes, He has a voice. The Holy Spirit has a voice and He can speak and it can sound audible, but the devil can imitate those things. But he can't imitate the inner peace.
Yeah.
He can't. He's not in there. Number one. Number two, he has no peace. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. I mean, even coming here to pastor, it wasn't a booming voice. It wasn't like that. Whenever I finally settled that God was saying pastor, it was just a knowing that just kept sticking there, and I wasn't doing anything with it. And then finally, I surrendered to it, and I said, "Okay, Lord, and here's how I want you to do this." And He said, "You leave all that up to me." Oh, I gotta do it again. I gotta follow, or not lead. God, lead God. So I did, and when Pastor Tim Horton called, he said, "You know, I saw you in your itinerary. You're coming up here. You have an opening. Come preach." I said, "Yeah." We worked it out, and then he said, "When you're coming, I have something I want to talk to you about."
Yep.
I was hoping it wasn't too long before I could hang up the phone, because I was almost laughing because I knew what it was. I don't want to be disrespectful to him on the phone, but I hung up the phone. I know exactly. I know that's what it is. I know he's going to invite us to come pastor. And he did.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But see, what was that? Some booming voice? I mean, this is a big step. This is important. No, just the inner witness. Amen. Hallelujah. The inner witness is one. That all that being said, that's the primary way he leads, but that's not the only way. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All these other things are to be judged. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, we're to judge spiritual manifestations. Well, how do you judge them? You have to have something to judge them by. Is it by our own thinking? No. It's by the Word, number one. It's by the inner witness, number two. That's why we say it trumps all these things. Amen. Hallelujah. So, God does move by these revelation gifts. We call it the spirit of seeing and knowing sometimes. You've heard that term. But what does the Bible reveal to us about prophesying about the future through these revelation gifts, specifically the word of wisdom? What does it say about it? Go over to Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11. Number one, what does the Bible say about these things? Number two, does it even happen in the Bible? Has it ever happened where the Holy Ghost said something about the economy?
All right. Come on. Yeah.
I mean, we want to be scriptural.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I do. You should. I hope you raise your hand and say, "I want to be scriptural." Well, we just looked at one where God gave Nebuchadnezzar that dream. Was it Nebuchadnezzar? That dream about the seven fat cows, seven skinny cows. That's really talking about the economy. But look here in Acts 11, verse 27 through 28. Acts 11, 27 through 28. In these days came certain prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit, this is by the Holy Spirit, that there should be great dearth throughout all the land, all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So he foretold a drought. How do you know that? He did it by the Spirit. In other words, by revelation of the Spirit. Isn't that right?
Yes.
The people believed him because he must have been a man of integrity. Isn't that right? He must have had a proven ministry. I remember Brother Hagin telling a story about a lady. He in one of the churches he pastored before he, you know, didn't pastor anymore. He said he raised up this group of prayer warriors. I don't know if he used the word warriors. I don't like that term sometimes. But anyway, people that knew how to bring, they pray heaven and earth together, he said. He said, and they learned how to pray. And he said, "You better not turn in a prayer request, because we're going to get it for you."
Yeah.
They learned how to pray.
Yeah.
Woo, glory to God. And so, but anyway, there was people there that he had confidence in. And somebody came to them and said, I don't know if Ken, Brother Hagin maybe, and said, "You know, some of the members of the church here were more elderly couple. I don't know how many years ago it was, 20 or 30 years before this or something. Some of you might know more better the dates on that. But their daughter disappeared."
Yeah.
You've heard of missing children and so forth. They had a daughter that just disappeared. And, you know, they drug the city lake. They did everything they knew, and they couldn't find her body. They didn't know where she went and what happened to her. You know, and after so long a period of time, people started assuming that they had been killed and something happened, and nobody found the body or something. But anyway, that was before Brother Hagin got there to pastor. But they were I think Brother Hagin was teaching some on these things about praying, and maybe talked about, you know, where Saul, maybe that time they prayed and asked God where Saul was in the Old Testament. Remember King Saul, he was shy and hid himself, and they said, where is he? And God told him where he was.
Right.
And I think maybe Brother Hagin's talking about some of these revelation gifts and asking God for things. And so they said, somebody said, well, that family in the church, that girl disappeared. Would God tell us where she is? Would God know where she is? Well, certainly he knows where she is. Would God tell us? Brother Hagin said, well, certainly. Yeah. Certainly.
Yeah.
I guess we didn't ask. You have not because you ask not. So they said, these things just bless me. These things just bless me. They said they got to praying about it. In one of the prayer meetings, a particular lady that Brother Hagin had good confidence in her, she prophesied or spoke by the Spirit. And said some things about the situation, said the girl was alive, or now be a lady, you understand, and that within 30 days, the parents would get word from her.
Yeah.
Now, that's getting out there on a limb.
Oh, yeah.
And Brother Hagin said, some of the deacons came to him and said, you better shut that down. You better deal with that. That's going to cause a lot of problems in the church. Brother Hagin said, well, number one, he said, if it had come through anybody else, I might be tempted not to believe it myself, but I have great confidence in her.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
You know, he said, if she prophesied the sun's going to come up in the west tomorrow morning, he said, I'd be tempted to get up and look. He had confidence. See, certain people, they're just fly by night, you know, just young whippersnappers and start learning and things like that. But then others, you know, you have more confidence. Anyway, so Brother Hagin said, that's number one. Number two, he said, all we got to do, because they said, that you know that's not God. He said, all we got to do is just wait 30 days.
Exactly.
I mean, if it doesn't come to pass, it wasn't God.
Yeah.
Just wait 30 days.
Yeah.
And he said, and if you get out here and try to shut this all down, and in 30 days it comes to pass, then the whole church is going to know how unspiritual and unscriptural all the deacons in the church are. And so the deacons changed their mind. Amen. So sure enough, 30 days later, I think it was actually on the 30th day, they got a letter. They didn't realize. They just put the mail up on the table or whatever and didn't really read it. And she said that night, the wife of the couple said that night, did we get any mail today? Oh, yeah, I forgot the one. And they opened it. Sure enough, here's a letter from their daughter. They said, you know, Mom, they just sent it general delivery to the city, and the postman, you know, small town, postman knew which mailbox it goes into. She didn't even know the daughter didn't even know if they were alive anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just sending it general delivery. If you're alive, I wanted to get in contact with you because, you know, whatever, 20, 30 years ago, whatever it was, I was in a gang. And I was getting ready to rat on them.
Uh-huh.
And they came for us and they kidnapped me and took me with them because they didn't want to be ratted on.
Yes.
And I've been in this house, chained up. That's terrible.
Yes.
But chained up for all these years. Got two children, I think, or something like that. And somehow or another, she was going to get out and was going to want to come see them or something like that.
Yeah.
And she did.
Yeah.
Came to the church and got saved.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I like that kind of thing. That's just good living right there. Not all the bad stuff, but you know what I'm talking about. The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, that's a word of wisdom. I said, that's a word of wisdom. Came to pass. Somebody said, was that God? Just wait and see. Just wait and see if it comes to pass.
Hallelujah.
But here's what I wanted you to see. You're here in Acts chapter number 11.
Yeah.
Notice he didn't tell them what to do about it.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
He didn't tell them what to do about it. Now go over here to Acts chapter number 21. This is really what I want to get to now. Acts chapter number 21. While you're going there, I'll remind you of another verse. You're going to Acts 21, but in 2 Kings 7:1. You can write that down. 2 Kings 7:1. You don't have to go there unless you want to, but It says, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall measure flour, fine flour, be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. Now, that was in a time of the enemy army had been surrounding that city for I forget how long, cut off all their ability to go out and get their food and bring it back in. And they're starving to death in the city.
Yeah.
And that prophecy was... You know, when people are starving, the prices go up.
Yeah.
I mean, when there's not enough food is what I'm trying to say. When the prices go up. But what he prophesied is normal prices. If you look that up, that's normal prices.
Right. Right.
Seemed impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seemed impossible. Remember the guy that the king was leaning on said that if the Lord opened heaven, windows in heaven.
Yep.
That couldn't be. He said, well, you'll see it, but you won't eat of it.
Yep. Yep. Come on.
And they trampled him on whenever that happened. They all went out real fast and trampled him, you know.
Yep.
But isn't that a prophecy about the economy? I'm just trying to stay scriptural about it. Tomorrow at this time. That's the future. That's the future. How did he know that? That's supernatural revelation. That's a word of wisdom. Came to pass, didn't it? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, first of all, before we go any further, remember John 16, verses 13 and 14 says that the Holy Ghost's ministry is to show us things to come. Now, he can do that any way he wants.
Yeah.
He can just give you an inkling about something.
Yeah.
We say inkling, it's a witness.
Yeah.
You get quiet, you just keep knowing.
Yeah. Keep knowing.
You just keep knowing.
Yes.
You just keep knowing.
Amen.
I have that a lot. Sometimes I don't know all that I know.
Yeah.
I mean, in my head, my knower, this knower doesn't catch up with this knower yet. But I just know. I remember one time I prayed something out financially, and I just got real giddy. I just knew I had it. Just knew I had it. And just in about 2 weeks, there it was. Boom, there it was.
Praise God.
Your spirit knows things your head doesn't know. Hallelujah. So he said, Jesus there in John 16, he said, the Holy Ghost in the life of the believer, that his ministry includes showing you things to come.
Yes.
He didn't say just prophets. He said believers.
Yes.
I said all believers can know things to come. That belongs to every believer. But not all believers have the revelation gifts in operation on a continual basis to publicly minister that to the body of Christ.
Right.
He'll show you things to come for your own life.
Yes, come on.
Won't he?
Yes, he will.
You have a right to know anything you need to know that's coming.
That's right.
To get ready for it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. If you're going to be the head, not the tail, you have the right to know it.
Yes.
The head's ahead, the tail's behind.
Yes.
And the tail doesn't, the tail's always playing catch up.
Yes.
The head's out ahead making decisions before anything else moves.
Yes. Come on.
Glory to God. Say, I'm the head, not the tail. Too many Christians living like the tail. What's happening? I don't even know what happened 3 years ago. Well, I don't even, let alone today, I don't know what's happening. What's the Holy Ghost saying? I don't know. Well, you ought to know you're the head. God keeps you ahead of stuff. Praise God. Amen. But not everybody's going to be out prophesying saying the Lord said this to the whole body of Christ. That's more for certain ministry offices. Said in the ministry as God wills. Amen. Now, look at this. Acts 21. Here's another question that gets that people have. What about, and we're going to read this in Acts 21. What about personal prophecies?
All right.
Are they scriptural? Well, I'll say yes, but there's a tremendous amount of abuse in the body of Christ right now about it. So let's look at it. Acts 21, 10 through 14. As we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. This is the same prophet that we read in Acts 11, named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle, shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles, and then we, deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard, this is Luke writing, he's in his company, he's part of the company. When we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? I'm ready not only to be bound, or not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. Now, Agabus gave forth a word of wisdom that he received, really, from the Holy Ghost. Notice what he told Paul. He told Paul what would happen at Jerusalem. Amen. This is what's going to happen. Well, if you read the whole story, it happened. But came to pass just like he prophesied. We call it prophecy, but it's really a word of wisdom. We don't even know that he prophesied it. It says he just said, thus saith the Holy Ghost. It's possible that he prophesied. In other words, it's possible that he just said what he had heard earlier in his prayer time or something. And just came out and said, this is what the Holy Ghost is saying. Or he might have been under the inspiration of prophecy at the time he said it. Either way, he's speaking by revelation of the Spirit. That's very common in the office of the prophet. Amen. So that's what Agabus is doing here. So he brought forth revelation concerning the future. Now, God sometimes tells people things are going to take place to prepare them ahead of time.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
But here's what I want you to notice. Notice very carefully, and this is one of the main points that I want to get across tonight. Notice very carefully, Agabus spoke by the Spirit and by revelation and said, this is what's getting ready to happen.
Right.
Notice what he did not do.
Come on.
He didn't tell him what to do about it.
That's right.
Do you see that?
Yes.
Read it very closely. He did. Somebody said, well, he's telling him not to go. No, he didn't. He didn't tell him not to go. He just said, this is what's going to happen when you get there. He didn't tell him what to do about it. Are you out there? Are you going home? He didn't tell Paul not to go to Jerusalem. This is where abuse has gotten into this area. Amen. Paul had to decide on his own. Between him and God and his own fellowship with God and his own spirit, what Spirit God telling to him, whether or not what he's going to do about this information. Because this is inside information. Isn't it right? That's what these revelation gifts are. They're inside information. I'm telling you what. He had to decide that on his own. Listen, the office of the prophet is not set in the church to guide the church. Now I'm talking in the New Testament now. It's not set to guide the church. I'm talking about in the New Testament. But people today are trying to direct people's lives by something that they're prophesying. They're trying to guide their lives. That's where they miss it. It's not wrong to say what the Spirit of God is saying is coming, but it's wrong to say this is what you should do about it. Amen. In fact, I'll go one step further. It's not only wrong, it's dangerous. Because you're trying to direct and regulate people's lives through the prophet's office, and that is that's unscriptural in the New Testament to do so.
Amen.
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 And if it's unscriptural to do something, then the Spirit of God won't anoint you to do it, and if he won't anoint you to do it, you're going to open yourself up to wrong spirits.
All right.
Now, we just have to say it.
Yep.
So we just have to say it. Because, you know, the Spirit of God never forces people, never, you know, says, you better do this, I'm not, but people get into that. You understand? Amen. This is just good help tonight. Amen. It's wrong and it's dangerous. But there's many people in the body of Christ, ministers in the body of Christ, that are out of balance in this area of revelation and personal prophecies in particular. In fact, some of them are way out of balance. They don't emphasize teaching and preaching the word. They emphasize, their whole ministry is based on prophesying. No ministry, not even the prophet's office, is to be based on prophesying. It's to be based on the word of God. What does God's word say? And they should get people focused on following the inner witness, not their prophecies. That doesn't mean God won't use them to prophesy something, but they're not to tell people what to do about it. Is this, can you see now we needed this tonight? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, spiritual things can be abused just like natural things can be abused. We all need food. But we can all abuse food. That doesn't mean food's evil or food's wrong. Right? It's good. It just has to be used properly and not abused. Right? And even sweets. It's not wrong to eat a sweet, but you can abuse sweets and sugar and all that and abuse it. Same thing true with prophecy. Same thing true with anything spiritual, really. And that's what people are getting into excess with. The Bible says, be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Some are terrible stewards of prophecy and revelation gifts. Terrible. And Jesus said to me one time, remember that story? I'll tell you a story. Remember that story? You remember it. The Lord spoke to me. There was a lady working with us in healing school, and she was kind of mean and snappy one day. And I went to the back room. I said, Lord, I don't know. She's not normally like this. What's going on? And I was just praying for her. I really didn't know that God was going to show me what's going on. I just sort of praying for her. But he showed me everything. He showed me the night before and how she had her and her fiance had a rough night because he broke up with her. And it was just a rough night. And so she's reacting out of that. And when I saw that, rather than be, I'll get you back kind of attitude, I had compassion on her. And so I poured out my heart to God, Lord, help her, and so forth and so on. But I never told a soul about it. Somebody said, you're telling us. You don't have a clue who she is. She walked in here right now, you wouldn't know her from Eve in the Garden of Eden. She'd be a little younger, but anyway. You understand?
Yeah.
But here's my point.
Yes, sir.
The Lord spoke to me whenever he revealed that to me.
Yeah.
And he said, if you'll be faithful with these things, and you'll handle them the way I, for the purpose, listen to that, for the purpose I gave them.
Yeah.
And you won't abuse them and you won't treat them wrong. See, God didn't tell me that to go blab it to anybody. He told it to me to help her, to pray for her. And it all came out later, but it was the Lord. He was being compassionate on. But I didn't go blab it. That's not the purpose. See, God doesn't have you blab everything. In fact, I'm saying so much less than I used to say. If God doesn't tell me to say it, amen, I'm just not going to say it. Amen. I know a lot of things, but I don't say it. I'm not saying I know everything. People think you're saying I don't know anything. Everything. I don't know anything unless the Holy Ghost tells me. But he said, if you'll handle these things correctly and won't misuse them, and you'll only use them for the purpose I gave them, then I'll give you more of these kinds of manifestations.
Amen.
So we need to understand how to steward these things. Are you still glad you came tonight? So, people have supposed here in Acts 21 that Paul missed it. In fact, there's a whole lot of the body of Christ. You hear them teach on this. They'll say Paul missed it here. The Holy Ghost is trying to keep him from going to Jerusalem. And he went. He was stubborn, bullheaded, and went. They'll say all kinds of stuff, and he missed it. And that's why he got, arrested in jail and so forth and so on. He's in chains all the way to Rome to stand trial and all that. And they say he missed it. Well, go to Acts 23:11. You still out there?
Yes, sir.
Acts 23:11. This is two chapters later. He's in a certain place, and the night following, the Lord stood by him, this is Paul, and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast missed it. No, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou, not shall thou, but must thou bear witness also in Rome. Jesus, the head of the church, is telling him he did not miss it. Everybody else said, oh, don't go, don't go, don't go. Remember, they all said, oh, don't. They were telling him not to go. He said, no. God had told him from the day he got his sight back that he was to bear the name of Jesus before Gentiles and kings. He did not miss it. Jesus didn't seem to know that Paul missed it here. Amen. Then in Acts 27, 23 and 24. Acts 27, 23 and 24. Remember the shipwreck? He said he's on his way to Rome in that ship. And remember, they got in that storm. Remember, Paul had said that he perceived the storm. There was a storm going to rise and be with harm and danger and so forth. He perceived that. In other words, God's trying to keep him from going. But of course, Paul's not in charge. He's a prisoner. So they took him anyway. But look what it, then they got in the storm. And then Paul spent some time praying. Here's what Jesus said to him. Or actually, excuse me, the angel. Acts 27, 23 and 24. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whom I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must... Not should, not maybe, must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. No, Paul didn't miss it. Jesus said to him twice, you're right on track, Paul. Ooh, my. That goes against some people's doctrine. I'm going through all this. Oh, God, I'm getting so persecuted at my job. Pastor, pray for me that I get another job. Anyway, some of you will get it. Some of you will think about it later. Why don't you stay there and be a light?
Thank you. Exactly.
Come on now.
Amen. Amen. No, people think he missed it because they don't understand the teachings of the New Testament about prophecies or revelations. Amen. God has not set the office of the prophet, which is used in these kind of revelations. You understand what I mean by that? In order to guide individuals' lives. I said amen.
Amen.
Or you should have said amen. We see that. Somebody said, well, it's in the Old Testament. We're not under the Old Testament. We're not under the Old Testament.
Come on.
Ring-a-dingy, we're not under the Old Testament. Well, they would go to the prophet when they needed guidance. They would go and seek and say, what's the Lord saying? And they would seek the prophet, see what the prophet has to say. Isn't that right? That's exactly what they did in the Old Testament, but you don't see that in the New Testament. Isn't that right? The reason is because in the New Testament, all of us have the Holy Ghost. In the Old Testament, the prophet and the priest and the king had the Holy Ghost, and the prophet had revelation gifts. And so when it comes to what should we do here, because what's the plan of God? What's the purpose of God? They'd go to where the Holy Ghost was. Today, we still go to where the Holy Ghost is.
Right inside. Come on now.
In case you didn't see it, right in here. We go to where the Holy Ghost is. I said, we go to where the Holy Ghost is. I said, we go to where the Holy Ghost is. Praise be to God. So, the status of the prophet in the New Testament is different than the Old Testament.
Yes.
If you didn't hear anything tonight, hear that.
Yes.
The status of the prophet in the Old Testament is different than in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they didn't all have the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen. There's a lot of spiritual abuse in these things today.
Yes.
Go ahead and say amen. It's all true.
Yes.
Amen. Don't incriminate yourself that you're listening to these people online. If you have a hard time saying amen, you might be. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. We got a lot of spiritual abuse. And so even some of these things are conditional anyhow. We just mentioned that. I mean, you remember God sent Jonah to Nineveh. And said, this whole city is going to be destroyed. That's a word of wisdom because of their corruption and their wickedness. Unless they repent. They repented and it didn't come. Actually, Jonah had a pity party over it. Looks like he wasn't a good prophet. Amen. Praise the Lord. These kinds of revelations are given to us to take into our prayer closet and see whether we can change it with the authority of the believer that we have as believers. Because we can't change everything. I thought we had all authority. Well, when it comes to other people's decisions, you can't change everything. I mean, your family might make choices to do things that's going to sow a bad seed and get a bad harvest. And you can pray and see if you can change it and see if you can get over in the Spirit and change it. You might, God might let you change it. But that doesn't mean you can change everything.
That's right. Exactly.
We do love people and we want to see if we can.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Come on.
And even in our nation right now.
Yes.
You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes,
sir. So, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're getting some answers tonight.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So, amen. Paul on that ship couldn't change it with his authority after they got into it. Well, why didn't Paul? Somebody said, well, sure he could have. Well, then why didn't he?
Yeah.
Why didn't he get up there and say, Jesus did that? Well, I'm going to do it too. Peace, be still.
Yeah.
We don't even see him trying to do it.
Yeah.
But how many of you know? Because they got themselves in that, they didn't listen to the Holy Ghost. But there's always a way of escape, the Bible says. You might not get God's best in the situation, but there's always a way of escape. And he escaped with his life, and he got the life of everybody on the ship. He got that through his prayer time. That's not God's best, but it sure beats dying. Amen. I'm going to say it again. Hearing what the Spirit's saying and giving heed to his warning so that we avert a bad situation Satan intended to bring into our lives is just as much walking in authority over what the devil intends to be in our life as binding and loosing. Did you get that? You can hear what the Holy Ghost is saying and respond to it and see what the Spirit of God said about the economy, and you could pray and say, Lord, what should I do about it? And he might tell one person to do one thing, another person to do another thing. Well, why would he tell different people to do different things? Okay, let's just get real practical about it. Let's think about the stock. The Lord said something about the stock market. Why would he tell one person to do one thing, another person to do another thing? Because one person might be in a long-range investment, and it's going to come out of it, and they're going to be okay. And if they took it out, they'd have to pay penalties and taxes. Somebody else needs it by next year, and God will tell them to do something different. That's why nobody should say, this is what you're supposed to do. Here's what you should do. Pray. Find out what the Holy Ghost is saying, do. All right. Okay, we just got real practical, all right? Rather than beat around the bush, we just said it. Pastor, thank you for saying it. All right, you're welcome. Thank you. Hallelujah. These kind of revelations are not given to direct people. It's given to say, okay, I believe the Holy Ghost is saying this is coming. What do I do about it? And Paul went to prayer, and the angel appeared and gave him a message about, here's what you do. Here's what you do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you glad you came tonight?
Yes, sir.
Spiritual things can be abused and are abused.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
They are abused, especially in our day.
Yes.
Not everybody that's seeing something or they're saying they're seeing something is seeing something.
Right.
I get amazed at the things that these Cracker Jack box prophets on the internet are saying. I mean, I'm just going to say it. Some of them are going to lose their ministry. Some of them are going to be removed from the scene because they're harming the body of Christ. They're drawing people to them, and you listen to what I'm saying, and that's just not scriptural. Are you out there? There's a lot of abuse. Amen. Some of them probably genuinely have a call, but they've never submitted to the Word of God about these things. And because of that, they're not good stewards of the grace that's on their life, and they're getting out of line with the Word, and God can only bless to the degree we're in line with the Word. Amen. We want to be scriptural about all these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If we handle these things right, we'll have more of them.
Yes.
What is right? Handle these things right. What does that mean? That means a lot of things, and we're out of time. But how many of you know one thing is these things are not to be used what we just said, to guide people's lives and so forth. But they're not to be used. In other words, they're to be used as the Spirit wants it to be used, to bless people.
Yes.
Not for pride or to draw people to ourselves. Or remember the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, whenever he comes, he will glorify me. Jesus is speaking about himself. The Holy Spirit doesn't draw attention to a man. He draws attention to Jesus. And so, you know, what does rightly handle these things mean? It includes the motives for why we're saying things. It includes because the devil, wrong motives, the devil will take advantage of wrong motives and get people off. The motive is that the will of God be done, the people of God be blessed. Are you out there? And that we be a blessing. That God's plan can move forward. That people's lives are not ruined because, you know, that can happen different ways. But
yes,
hallelujah.
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 I'm glad I came tonight.
Yes,
selfish ambition is one thing Satan works through.
Yes.
People do these things or prophesy or do these things. And some people feel like they're under, because they do it so much, people come to their meetings to get these things. And so they feel under pressure. And they're saying things not because the Spirit of God is moving on them, but because the people want it, and they yield to the pressure, and Satan accommodates them. There are things as familiar spirits.
Absolutely. That's so true.
You understand? And probably at one time or another, all of us have yielded to something that wasn't quite right. But listen, when you recognize it, you get it right. You say, Father, forgive me. So not everybody that misses it is wrong. I've missed it before, right? But what do we do with it? Right? Just continue, because we got to perform. We got to perform and never say we missed it. That's wrong motives. Amen. Let me say this and we'll close. We're to be good stewards of these things. Amen. That includes not telling everything, of course. But then one thing we're responsible to do is renew our minds with the word concerning these things, proper operation, these spiritual gifts, proper operation. We're to renew our minds with the word for their proper use. Amen. And if we do, God will manifest himself more in these ways.
Amen.
See, renewing our minds is for all of us. It's for ministers who minister. It's for those ministers who have spiritual gifts. They're to be, all those things are to be operated in accordance to the word. That actually is addressed very strongly in 1 Corinthians 14. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand up with me. We're to renew our mind to the purpose. If we have a wrong purpose, we will abuse these things. So, hallelujah. Did you get some help tonight?
Yes, sir.
Did you get some things cleared up tonight?
Yes, sir.
Well, I just want somebody to tell me what to do. You know what that is? I mean, I've been there before, so don't think I'm just down on you. It's being spiritually lazy. Being spiritually lazy. You don't want to have a prayer life. You don't want to have any time with God and hear from God for yourself. Amen. Well, it got quiet on that. You know, because these things are abused, people despise prophesying. The Bible says, "Don't despise." It says, "Don't quench the spirit." And then it says, "Despise not prophesying." Then it says, "Prove all things; hold fast what is good." So we're to let the Holy Ghost move, and not despise prophesying, and prove out whether it was good or right or so forth, and hold fast to what's right. That means there might be things we just set aside, throw on the shelf, or whatever, or throw away. Or put through the shredder and throw away. But right on the other hand, the reason people despise these things is because of all the abuse.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
If these things are handled correctly, the people of God, they cherish it.
Yes.
And I'll tell you something else. God's not having a man prophesy every service.
No.
You don't see that in the scriptures.
No.
Some of these people, they're just up prophesying every service.
Or they're prophesying what somebody said.
Yeah, they're prophesying what somebody said. Or they've been watching the news and they just prophesy what they saw on the news. A prophet has to be very careful what he's listening to. Because a prophet's mouth is connected to his ears. A prophet is a seer and a hearer. And these people have to be very careful. Very careful. Amen. I don't see any scriptures for prophesying every service. I'm not saying it couldn't manifest a couple times in a row. I mean, but the point is, well, you've heard my point. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many want things to be right? Oh, if it's right, it's right, it's good and a blessing. Amen.
Just one, I mean, I can't add to anything. This is wonderful. So just prophesying what they said. And that doesn't mean you can't talk to your family or somebody, but you're not prophesying to one another. You know, if there's some things that you believe or maybe read or you heard, and it's kind of bearing witness with your spirit, so you talk to your husband or family members. Pastor Jay and I are very careful not just talk about everything, but sometimes I'll share with somebody. I said, you know, and if it doesn't happen, I'm not prophesying it, okay? I believe some things, and there's obviously a lot of things going on behind the scene that we don't know about, so be careful not just spout it all off because it may, you know, we don't
know
it all.
That's embarrassing when it's,
we don't know it all.
When it was false.
Yeah, but anyway, but at the same time, and actually, if somebody tells me something, I'm very less likely to minister about that. That's why we don't like to go to churches and them tell us, you know, the pastor tells everything about everybody because I don't want to, you know, do it because of that. So I just wanted to share that it's okay to talk about things with your family and bounce things off. Hey, I'm praying about this. You know, are you getting anything about this? You know, it seems like I kind of lean towards this, but that doesn't mean you're prophesying to one another.
So. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, honey.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well,
hallelujah.
Like it or lump it, like the preacher said, like it or lump it. How many of you know we believe in these things manifesting? Amen. We receive it. We thank God for it. And when it's right, it is such a blessing. We thank God for it. Amen. But we just want to keep it in this in its place scripturally. Praise God.